Well, my assignment from the Lord for the last 25 years or so has been teaching biblical economics. We've written 52 books on the subject, raised several billion dollars for churches across the world. By the way, you may have noticed that my hair has darkened since I had that picture made. I eat Cheerios every morning, and that's brought that around. You know, there's one thing that is stronger than the Word of God. We all talk about how strong the Word of God is, but the Bible tells us your traditions make the Word of God of no effect. And it's not talking about ceremonial traditions. You know, you can have smoke in the room. You can have burn incense. You can have people chanting in a room. If someone will preach the Lord Jesus Christ, that he saves, that his blood washes away your sins, a person will get saved. It's not ceremonial traditions that make the Word of God of no effect. It's those interpretations, those traditional interpretations that we make. And one of the things that's interpreted all across the world almost, and I travel the world, I'm just back from Asia. By the way, praise God, I'm 83 this year. And I'm married 64 years, same woman, 64 years, that's pretty good. So God is being good to me in that way. But as I travel across the whole earth, what I hear is a lot of people are disturbed with finances. They take too many offerings. You know, if you want to see where they take too many offerings, watch CNN. About every 7 minutes, they stop and have four or five offerings. They'll have one for Geico, and they'll have one for Alpo, and they'll have one for this other Po. It goes, and that's around the clock. Everywhere you go, they take up offerings. But sometimes we don't understand exactly about why offerings are taken in the church. We get in our mind, well, it's to meet the bills, the lights, all those things. And the money is used for that kind of thing. But the purpose for finances in the Bible is that the children of God might receive, not that they might just give, but that they might receive. I had for a long period of time, my wife and I thought of ourselves as great givers. And then when it really started happening, we realized that we were great receivers. And even now into our retirement years, our semi-retirement, when income is cut way back, finances are still coming from us from every direction. Because, and I don't want to take too much time here with this, but when you sow your seed, don't get upset if you don't have a big jumping up harvest just all around you, just flowing into your life. Because when you get my age, there's still got to be some things like apple trees and orange trees. You know, wheat grass will jump up real quick, and carrot, and certain plants will come up very rapidly. But if you're going to have a tree, amen. If you're going to have a tree that in your old age is bringing finances into your life. And I might say this, that even in the biggest part of our ministry, we had 70 employees, very large ministry. My giving was great then, but it's no less now. Pat and I still give tremendous amount. Just a few days ago, we gave away a brand new automobile. We're continuously still giving, and it comes from what I'm going to teach you today. What I'm going to teach you today. I want to talk to you today about reward-motivated giving. Reward-motivated giving. Now, a lot of people have in their mind that if they just get a plan for giving to God, that God will come into line with their desire for their giving. For instance, I know people that will say, I'm not giving to the church. Church has enough. They got a lot of people at the church. I'm going to give to poor people. I'm going to give all my money to poor people. Well, I think it's good that poor people get money, that you give money to poor people. But you have to understand that Proverbs 19 and 17 says, he that has pity on the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. No increase comes from giving to the poor. Now, we must give to the poor, but it is not an investment. It is not a seed. When you give to a poor, you didn't sow into the poor person. You made a loan to the Lord God, and he said, I'll give it back to you again. I'll get it back into your pocket, whatever you gave. So if you can just start getting into your thinking that there has to be a biblical focus on your giving to see that giving come back 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold into your life. A great part of the Christian believers, they think that it's wrong to do if you give expecting to receive something back. I remember that was very clear in the days that I come up in the Methodist church. In the offering time, they'd say, well, God bless the giver and the non-giver alike, and don't give if you don't want to give, and one thing or the other like that. But really, the truth of the matter is, we don't catch that the reason for the offering to be taken in the church, if you go back to the Bible, it talks about a way that finances are put back into the hands of the children of God. So we find that many people, if you talk about reward-motivated giving, they say that's totally wrong. Now, if you give, it's good if you have, compassion giving, or if you give out of gratitude or out of obedience, that's the way to give. But for to have reward-motivated giving, they say, well, that is so crash. It's just wrong to even think like that. But child of God, when you come through the scriptures, you're going to find that if reward-motivated giving is not what God is teaching, you've got some verses that are going to be very confusing to you. Very confusing. For instance, look in Mark 10, 28 through 30. And Peter began to say unto Jesus, we have left all and have followed you. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left houses, our brethren, our sisters, fathers, mothers, our wives, our children, our lands, for my sake, and the gospel, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. Now, many people teach that our rewards will be over on the other side when we get into heaven, but the Lord says here, these financial rewards are going to come back into your life here, now, in this time, and then in the world to come. Everlasting life. So most surely this sounds like the Lord Jesus here is promoting motivational giving, reward motivated giving. Another reward motivated giving verse of scripture that gets very confusing. If God does not want us reward motivated in our giving, you take Luke 6:38, which is spoken in most offerings all around the world. It says, give and it shall be given unto you. If it stopped there, it wouldn't be reward motivated, but he says it's going to be good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. And then he says, really, the more you give, the more you're going to receive. He says, for with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured unto you. Now, are you beginning to pick up what I'm trying to say to you? I'm trying to say to you that all the scriptures have to blend together. You can't just come to some and say, whoa, that's this out of place. I have to not take that literally. All of it's literal. And then if reward-motivated giving is wrong, then what do we do with the premier cornerstone giving verse in the Bible? Malachi 3:10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith. It's a challenge to move into a reward-motivated relationship with God. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and shall not be room enough to receive it. This most surely is a reward-motivated scripture. Those three all talk about that if you will give to God, God is going to give back to you. Well, one place, 100-fold, he'll bring it back into your life. Other place, pressed down, shaken together, running over. And another place, beyond what you're able to receive. Now, are you beginning to grasp what I'm saying? Yeah. Either we have the whole counsel of God, or really there's a lot of things you can do on Sunday morning that are a whole lot more profitable than coming and just listening to the part of the Word of God. We need the whole counsel of God. Now, Think with me a little bit further. If reward motivated giving, if reward motivation is not in the Word of God, what do we do with the scripture that has to do with King David, when David answers Goliath? When you get over there into 1 Samuel 17, 24 through 26, it says, "And all the men of Israel," now they're gathered together, Goliath has called out and wants a warrior to come and fight him, and everybody has run. David has run also. Most people think David just stood up there and said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" He ran with everyone else until he heard there was a reward. And when he hears there's a reward, he jumps up from behind the rock and says, "Let's have another look at this Philistine." Read it to you here. It says, for the children, "And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said unto him, Have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man that killeth him, the king will enrich him with what kind of a living? A mid-level life? No, he says, with great riches. And I'll give him his daughter," not the pretty daughter. "I'll give him the daughter and make his father's house free. No more debt can be put on his father's house." Now David jumps up behind the rock and says to the man that spoke, "So what shall be done to the man? To that man that killeth this Philistine and take away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that should defy the armies of the living God?" Now this reward motivated David. In Acts, the 13th chapter, God says he's a man after my own heart. Are you grasping this? See, if there's something in need, here a while back, we were selling a ranch that we had as we had to move Sister Pat away from that place to be closer to the kids. She was very ill at the time. And we gave a large offering. And we made a memorial. And you say, "How come you make a memorial?" Well, you know, the reason you were chosen as a Gentile to be part of the kingdom of God, it all started over there with Cornelius. And Cornelius's giving and his praying were put together. And the Bible says it stood in heaven before God as a memorial. And as a memorial, God then said, "Send Simon Peter to your house." My wife and I made a memorial for the sale of that house. It sold in short order. In less than 10 days, we sold a condo in Virginia, and it sold with a memorial also being made with it. We just simply put it before God and use what God says about finances. He has all kind of things in the Bible he says about finances, ways that he'll touch your life. Even when people got healed, you don't realize this, but when people got healed, remember when Jesus healed that leper? He said, "Go to the priest and pay the amount that's to be paid." In the Old Testament, even healing, when it came, an offering came forth from it. So we come to find, and by the way, what is it that you spend more time on than anything else? You spend more time putting together the money that it takes for you to live. You spend most of your time, if you figure it out, it's the lion's share, and then we come to church, and God has a plan for it, but we don't want to hear about it. We don't want to hear about it. That's why we're all automobile credit cards. That's why we're credit cards, automobiles in debt, houses in debt, personal loans, pink slip loans. It's like, you know, when I'm going to run out of time, but I got to tell you this. When I was a boy, one man working a job, an average job, could have a house and a car, and his wife didn't have to work, and he could put his kids through college. You understand what I'm saying to you? We are caught in a trap, and God has an answer out of it if you can start believing that as you give to him, that you will receive back from him when you've given. Think a little bit further with me, and I'm going to skip forward a little bit now, if you will. I'm going to go on over to Hebrews 12:2 for those keeping the Jesus was reward motivated in giving. Now that is a hard statement, and it's a terrible statement to make if you don't have Bible to back it up. But our Savior was reward motivated when he went to the cross. Watch this with me, please, in Hebrews 12 and 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now listen. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame of it, and sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now you say, Brother John, so the joy. But you've got to move back a little bit. Go into the garden and you'll come to find that he really didn't want to go to the cross. Very important that you listen close. Because when he's there, he's not wanting to do it. Matthew 26, 38 through 39. Then said Jesus unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry you here with me and watch. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but as you will. What has happened here? We have one situation where he does not want to do it. He's not cheerful. And what does God say? He loves a cheerful giver. And now, what has changed? If I say this to you, if you can get it in your spirit, it'll change the way you look at finances, the rest of your life. It'll change the way that you look at every offering that you face. Here's the truth. As long as Jesus looked at the price of the offering, he was heavy. He was heavy. But when he lifted up his eyes and he looked at the prize, if you just not look at what you put in, but understand what's coming back to you from it. Giving becomes very easy if you understand that when the offering is taken in your church, it has nothing to do at that moment. It has nothing to do with what's done with the money. But it has to do a point where you can come into a relationship of giving and receiving with God, and that you can sow your money like seed and it'll grow and multiply back into your life. Are you understand what I'm saying to you? It's a sign of pride when we just give because we care so much for the church and we're just so beneficial and we just want to help everybody. That sounds real good, but if you will take what the Bible says, the Bible talks about giving, and in the giving we're expecting to receive. Think a little bit with me. I want to look at. I have dropped a few things, so just bear with me. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. Amen. Do you follow that? God says if you're going to believe in me, you're going to have to be reward motivated. You have to believe I'm a rewarder. That the things that you do, that I tell you to do, you're not just going to do them to just so you can go to heaven, because the go to heaven has already been decided at the cross. Now then, we're in a relationship. We're in a kingdom relationship. We're in a family relationship. And as you do the things I ask you to do, there will be reward. And then there's reward in your giving. The bank has some little puny outfit it tries to operate that imitates God's system. Put your money in the bank and then they give you back whatnot. It's, I think, 0.2% or something, 2% at the most. But God says it's 30-fold, 60-fold, and then 100-fold. And I'm just going to leave my notes and just believe that I'm going to be able to get some things into you. 30-fold is 30 times. 60-fold is 60 times. 100-fold is not 100 times especially. The word 100, the number 100, can represent all other numbers. When you take where this story about 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold takes place in the sower, you'll find that in two of the Gospels, it says 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. One of them it says 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. But then Luke only says 100-fold. He takes the same story and says it comes back 100-fold. Well, see, 100-fold just means the best increase under the circumstances. Wow. And as you give to God, as you put your tithe and your offering into the house of God, and special offerings, if something's coming up, I mean, if you've got something that you know is coming up that's going to put you in a terrible financial pinch, don't start cutting down on your offering and pulling everything in. Make a special gift in. Put it in and specify, I'm believing you, God, for increase so that I can meet this bill that's coming towards me right now. Are you grasping what I'm saying? There is a financial fountain in God's house. When that offering plate comes around, it's one of your greatest friends that you have in this whole city is that offering plate, because it can bring forth the food for your family. It can bring forth the money to educate your children. It can bring forth the money to pay off your house. Are you beginning to grasp a little of what I'm trying to say to you? See, being reward motivated, everybody's thinking, oh, that's so terrible. But it's not terrible if that's what God asks us to do. Now, think with me a minute. When I got saved, I didn't love God. He just told me before that I hated him. You read the Bible, when you're outside of Christ, you hate him. I did not get saved because I love God. I did not get saved because of the beauty of the sermon. I simply was reward motivated. I was not going to hell, but I was going to get to go to heaven. Good. You follow what I mean? Reward motivation. If I was not reward motivated, I'd still be lost. But then healing, with his stripes were healed. Well, I believe with his stripes were healed, but child of God, hear me. I don't believe that just so that I can be Pentecostal or just so that I can be charismatic. I believe that so that I can be healed. I'm reward motivated. And then the Bible says, he that was rich became poor, that I might be rich. All this is talking about the cross. You remember when they put the crown of thorns on his head? Find a scholar that can tell you why they put the crown of thorns on his head. I've read everything in the world, and I know in my heart what it is. They crowned him the king of poverty on the cross because those thorns and thistles, remember, they came up when Adam and Eve fell, the thorns and thistles came up. And there he was on the cross. He purchased riches for me. I'm a joint heir with him, a joint heir. So anything that he's inheriting, I can inherit. And he's not a poor Jesus. Last time we saw him in the book of Revelation, he had on a golden girdle wrapped around himself. Is anybody grasping a little what I'm saying? Yes. See, we got to watch, because there's a big change coming in the church right now. The church is turning a corner, and it's going to be good. The younger people coming along, they're going to turn it around just like we did when I was a younger person, and turned it into a great number of years of great church. Amen. And revival is going to come. It's going to come to this nation. Amen. It's going to sweep the land. It's not going to sweep the land in the old traditional way, but it's going to come in a new way. It's going to move quickly. It's going to be in step with our day. But the truth is, no matter which way it goes, you're going to have finances. And if I understand this world correctly, after all this great explosion, and I'm not being political, after all this great explosion of growth in America, what's happened to wages? Wages are about the same that they ever were. See, I'm going to tell you, if you're going to have increase, if you as a child of God will just lock in on this book, if you want increase, there's a way to have it. And it has to do with putting your money into the good ground of this church. Now, with all respect to television, let me ask you, see, I've left my notes, totally left my notes, Pastor. I raised billions of dollars for Christian television. But I want to tell you right now, every 30 minutes is an offering taken on Christian television. Every 30 minutes is an offering taken on Christian television. You go into most Christians' homes, they got the cups, they got this one's cups and that one's cups, and they got night lights with angels on it, and they got the eagles in the... I mean, listen, that's not the local church. That's not the good ground of the local church. I mean, let someone else that's not... Let people that don't have a church go with Christian television. But you put your finances into this house. Amen. Yeah. And you watch what it does in your life. Now, my wife and I, we didn't become givers when I learned about biblical economics. We were givers. Here's what changed, and I'm just closing. Here's what changed. We started believing for something else other than what we were in the earlier giving. When we first got saved, we gave and gave. We were tithing as much. We were given as much to mission as our tithe was. We were given special offerings everywhere. But what we were believing was that we could get by without it. And you know what happened? We got by without it. I didn't get started eating sandwiches instead of going to the restaurant to eat for lunch. Dropped off coffee, dropped off this, didn't do that, didn't go to this place. And we just kept cutting back and cutting back so we could give more, and it all worked. But we gave. Now what changed was we started believing that it could come back to us. That when we gave money, that money would come back. It would come back 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. We did not become bigger givers. We simply became more targeted givers. We were speaking, God, your word says if we sow it, you will multiply it back to us. And we became that kind of giver. Are you grasping what I'm trying to say to you? I had some beautiful notes here that I wanted to share with you, But I'm just telling you and after 26 years of pastor, and I just talk to you maybe like a pastor would talk. If you're gonna get that house paid off, something supernatural is gonna happen, because most people finally get it paid off about the time they can put the reverse mortgage on it and retire on it. That's the plan you're on. Are you getting it? Most of you, your cars wear out about the time that you need to buy another one, and you're going to be in car notes the rest of your life. You don't have to do that. Amen. You don't have to be in that credit card debt. I'm telling you, all of those things, they're not settled out here with some government bill that's passed. And, you know, or maybe they're going to get rid of this kind of debt or that kind of debt. If you could take the truth of God that it says about your finances as you involve them in the house of God, you will see that all of a sudden things will start breaking in your direction. Promotions will come. Opportunities will come. One of the things, everything you have will last longer. That's right. Amen. I'm telling you, I used to always read on those tires how far they were supposed to go, and I said they'd never go. After I was a tither, my tires started going out the whole distance that they said they'd go. Please understand what I'm saying to you. You have an opportunity in this week, this dominion in the word, to take dominion over your finances. Amen. To put that whole thing under your feet. And one of the ways is as these offerings are taken for cost of the meeting, for the expenses of the meeting. And let me say, I go a lot of places, but let me tell you, you guys take such good care of us speakers. My hotel room, the pillows, so fluffy. I don't know how I'm gonna get my suitcase closed. Now, let a little pressure off, let you unpucker a little bit. When you talk about money, people pucker up. But it's time now, we're going to take an offering for this. We're the first offering taken for the budget of this meeting. And you know, the whole thing could be paid this morning right now. If you just believed what I just told you, that it comes 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. And let me show this to you. Significance. Significant is a great word. When your offering is significant, you know what that word means? It means something that draws attention. When something's significant, it draws attention. So I just encourage you. I encourage you, as you prepare your offering, and there's offering envelopes, I believe, in the chairs. Is everything peaceful with everything, sir? Yes, sir. There's offering envelopes in those chairs. Would you take those? And you make your offering right out to the church. If you use a bank card, there's a place for your bank card. And don't be afraid to put an offering on a credit card. It's good for the money to go through the bank and tell that other money what's getting ready to happen. If you give electronically, however it is, take just a moment. And husbands, talk it over with your wives and listen to them. They're more liberal than you are, I tell you right now. Wives like to give big to God. I think they think they just know how much they need him in their family. So would you just prepare right now your offering? Let's get it ready, and we'll receive it, and I'll pray a prayer over it. And I don't know, I usually, my first time Dominion in the Word, I just left my notes, totally left my notes. But I think I talked to you maybe about some things that had to be said. You can educate your children out of those offering plates. When my kids came up time for them to have automobiles, I just wonder how in the world was I going to do it. But somewhere or the other, there was money there to get my daughters. Now, the boys had to work for their automobiles, but my daughters, I gave them cars. Boys are wonderful, but girls are forever. Yeah. Anyway, as you prepare, and ushers, am I going with the right procedure here? We're seated?
Yes.
Yeah, it's good to be seated. You can write your checks better seated than standing. And I'm going to get done in time. That's hard to get an old Baptist preacher to do. Amen. I sure like the way your new building looks. You look like Uptown Church now. Yeah. Are we ready? Does someone need another minute? Wave at me if you need another minute. You're not ready, quite ready yet with your offering. Yes, we're waiting for you. We're waiting. Just another minute. Now, we just pass the buckets in the rows. Is that what we do? They bring it forward.
We pray for it, and then we'll pass the
bucket. All right. Lift your offering, please, as I pray for it. Father, I thank you. There's more than enough. And God, I thank you for the power of conversation. Preaching, teaching, but then just conversation. And God, I've tried to relay to the people here just in conversation today how important offering time is to everything in their life. And I ask you, God, that you be with each one of these gifts that's given. I speak it's multiplied, that it comes back 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. And Lord, that we can start being conscious of its return, that it just doesn't seep into our lives, but that we see it. Yes, that's from you. Yes, that was you, Lord. Yes. And I thank you, God, that it's multiplied in Jesus' name. Amen.